and all that God has commanded us to do. But then on the other hand, it's all the social pressure. It's currently politically incorrect to state that your faith is better than somebody else's. Or even worse, it's politically incorrect to state that your faith is the only way, truth, and life. We get persecuted even today, not just in Ephesus back in the day, but right now in Durban North. We get persecuted for our faith. And this seems to instill in us a sense of fear and shame. And it might not be at the forefront of our thinking. It might be quite subconscious. In ways where we think that we don't know enough about the faith in order to share that with others. Or we think, I'm going to make an absolute fool of myself when they ask me a question and I don't know the answer. Or I'm too young in the faith, or I'm too young naturally to tell these people that Jesus is the way, truth, and life. What if I share my faith and they just don't believe? And now that I've shared it, they unfriend me on Facebook. Friends, some of these thoughts run through our minds every day, whether it's subconscious or not. And I think some of these thoughts ran through Timothy's mind as he was ministering in Ephesus. Am I still good enough? Do I know enough to take on these false teachers? Is my faith strong enough to stand up against the persecution that we're facing? And isn't it amazing that thousands of years later, this same text still applies to us today? And so you'll note in verse 5 that Paul makes a link back to the God of Timothy's mother and grandmother. The reason for this link is that Timothy's faith was cultivated in the house by Eunice and Lewis. They trained Timothy in the Old Testament scriptures. They built up his faith for him when he was still young. Some scholars even think that Lewis and Eunice were early converts of Paul's ministry in Lystra. And what's amazing is Lewis and Eunice passed on the faith that they had received onto Timothy. And he has now become this leader of God in Ephesus. Today, friends, we cannot underestimate the value of good, biblically grounded parenting. There are young people sitting in this room today because of parents taking this task to heart. Going, I'm going to teach my children about Jesus. And there are quite a few sitting here. Well done, good and faithful servants of God. Whether you did it for your own children or the children inside our community and outside our community, well done. Keep going. Don't stop. Because you never know when you have planted a seed in a young Timothy's heart and they have grown up into these wonderful, godly men and women serving the Lord faithfully in this generation. So keep going. Don't stop. But this text doesn't just apply to our childhood. Paul refers back to that solid biblical foundation in Timothy's life for a very specific reason. There is no way that you and I can face the persecution that we have today without a good, solid biblical foundation. So if your parents didn't teach you about Jesus, that's okay. You're in the right place. Keep building that foundation. Keep growing in your relationship with God. Don't stop. And that's why Paul says in verse 6, Timothy, fan into flame the spiritual gift that God gave you. Paul was encouraging him to keep growing in his faith as an adult so that he too would be able to persevere the challenges that he would face. And so the question, the hard question for us today, as adults, are we still on fire for God? Yes, we've got a good, solid biblical foundation, but are we still as passionate about Jesus and the gospel as we were 20 years ago, or the day we gave our hearts to the Lord? Do we still have that flame burning brightly? Maybe we can see from a mile away, hey, there's something different. There's something amazing about that person. Or have we grown cold and stale? and all we're doing is just smoking. Hey? Have you ever been to a campfire the next morning? You know, the previous night, we were all sitting around the campfire. It was hot and the marshmallows, and you're trying to get in there without burning your fingers. And the next morning, it's just this little poof, poof. Hey? And then some of the early birds get up and they stoke the fire a bit and bump the dust away and they fan into flame again, that coal. Especially if we want to build another campfire tonight. Nobody wants to go and get charcoal again and all that kind of stuff and fire lighters. Just want to fan into flame. Get some dry wood. Let's get this going again. It is so easy for us to grow cold and dull. Some more fire-making analogies. The easiest way to smother a fire, especially a young one, is to load it with a lot of stuff. Hey? That's not ready to take fire. You've got this little fire, and you take a whole bag of charcoal, dump it on there. Every guy in this room knows what happens. We ask our wives, hair dryer, honey? And you clear out the coal, and you find the one that's lit. You stand there with a hair dryer. Hey? Well, that's the East Rand way of doing things. You all still do it, eh? Not just the guys on the East Rand. But it happens. We fan into flame that little coal, or we've got to just restart all over again. And it's so easy, though, to grow dull. And the following phrase just really shook me this week. At times, we have become so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly good. This happens when we come to church week in, week out. We attend various Bible studies and courses. We've read the Bible cover to cover. Notice how we're piling stuff on. And don't get us wrong, these are really good things and crucial things for your spiritual growth. But when we're just piling and piling and piling and piling, and we're not sharing the fire with God, of course our fire is going to go out. Of course we're going to become dull and stale because nobody can see the light because we are just full of good stuff that will eventually have fire, will eventually produce fruit. But friends, there's a lovely young saying at the moment. Whenever young people notice that you hold on to something that you're supposed to share, like a box of chocolates, they're like, hey, Jan, you like to keep it here. Hey? You've seen that on social media and out there. The guys, and Trevor Noah makes that joke. Keep it here. Hey, about the state capture. We're keeping it here. The same applies in the spiritual sense. At times, I think we want to keep it here. And it was never designed for that. You and I, sitting here right now, are witnesses to that. Very fact that the gospel was never designed to be kept here. It was designed to go out there. It was designed to be shared with this world. And when we just keep it here, eventually we grow cold and stale. Because we're doing good stuff. We're packing our fire with more ammo against the evil one. But that ammo is not on fire anymore. It's not creating light for the people around us to see. So the good news is, friends, that we in this church, I can testify to this, we have indeed learned. We've got a good biblical foundation of the gospel. You guys know your Bibles well. That's why we can never get away with murder on the pulpit. Because you pop us an email and say, hey, but where did you get that from? The book of So well done with that. You've got good biblical foundations. But the one thing I think we're struggling with, because of the pressures that we're living in, social pressure, even persecution, you've tried to share the gospel and it didn't work. The person told you to go fly a kite. And now you're kind of reserved. The good news is that this text tells us that God's not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And yes, we must agree to this, that we live in a world that needs a bit more of God's love and power. We live in a world that needs the gospel desperately. We need to agree on that. Because you and I are sitting here as a result of somebody else sharing the gospel. You and I could have been in a place of no hope, no love, no direct relationship with God, sitting hopelessly waiting for the end of the world to come. But someone decided to heed to the plea of God and say, hey, I've got something really good to share with you. It's the love of God and it's amazing. And now we're sitting here, growing in that relationship with God, but we cannot just keep it here. Even when the fear we face seems to overpower our willingness to share the gospel. So verse 7 states, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. In fact, Scripture says that God is not the author of fear. The evil one is. Because he would try everything in his power to stop us from sharing the gospel, sharing the good news with the rest of the world. And so when the thoughts of fear start keep creeping into our minds, let's do exactly what Christ did when he was tempted in the desert. And he quoted Scripture back into the evil one, back into the situation, back into that fear. And this verse today should be one of the easiest ones for us to remember. In moments when those thoughts of fear creep in those moments, quote and boldly say, no fear, no evil one, you're a liar. For the God that I serve, the God that we serve, has not given me that spirit of fear, but he's given me a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And so right now, I will pray. God, remind me of your power. Remind me of your love, and give me a sound mind to get through the situation I'm currently facing. Oh, fear, where'd you go? Love doing that. Absolutely love doing that. Quoting Scripture back into a situation. With a bit of boldness. Sometimes maybe a bit arrogant, because I know that God is more powerful than the evil one. I just go, dude, you tried what? Not going to happen. It's easier said than done, I know, often. But God's not given us the spirit of fear. And we need to start quoting that back more and more, especially when we struggle with fear and anxiety in our everyday lives. In those moments, we need to really start quoting verses like this. Say, no, I feel anxious, I feel fearful right now. No, the God I serve has given me a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And if that's you today, I really hope that you'll start memorizing scriptures like this and start quoting it into those situations. But maybe that's not you. But you completely get the social pressure right now about sharing your faith. You completely get that, hey, but I'm just a young Christian. I don't know what I'm talking about. Those thoughts are totally true for you. Maybe that's you. And so, in that situation, let's look at what this love, power, and a sound mind could mean to us. When we're wondering whether we're good enough, whether we have enough info, have a strong enough foundation to share the gospel with others. I think Timothy even felt like that. And that's why Paul wrote in this letter, encouraging him to be bold, reminding him of God's call, his gifts, and provision. And that same reminder is given to us today. And so God's not given us a spirit of fear, but rather God provides us with a heart of love. Do you remember back in the day when someone shared the gospel with you? It was out of love. And quite sacrificial love. They could have kept it here. I don't want to share this. This is awesome. Feeling loved unconditionally by God. And they were like, no, but I need to share this. I want somebody else also to feel and experience this kind of love. So they went out of their comfort zones and shared it with you. And so we need God to remind us of that love that we received when we first believed. In fact, Paul used the Greek word agape in this text, which is sacrificial love. It's the love that we witness in the life of Jesus, where he was willing to give up everything for us out of love. And so God has given us a spirit of agape love, sacrificial love, where you and I, if we lean on his power and his spirit, will have the love that we need in order to share the gospel with others. But that's not all. God also gives us the power to share the good news with others. And I know that for some of us, we go, hey, Jan, but you and Angus and a few others, you're gifted to like speak in front of millions, and you're okay with that. You're gifted to share your gospel naturally. Don't think Timothy was. He had to rely on the power of God because he was young, very young. And in the old culture, it wasn't seen that a person of that age had any knowledge or wisdom. He had to be a bit older to share the gospel with authority and power. So he had to lean on the power of God when he shared the gospel. And you and I know that when somebody shares the gospel in the power of God, it is very hard to discredit his authority or her authority. It's very hard to discredit what they're sharing with you because the power doesn't come from them, it comes from above. And so when fear creeps into your life, yes, ask God to remind you of the agape love that you and I have received and give that love to somebody else, but lean on the power of God, not on your own strength, in going through that fear and sharing the gospel with others. And the third thing that God also gives us is a sound mind. And now the original Greek word here used is sophronimos. Hey, we're going to learn a lot of funny words today. Sophronimos. That word can be translated into any of three things. The first could be self-control, second, self-discipline, or a sound mind. And I think that's quite intentional of God to do that because he wants us to have all three in one, so he just used one word in Greek. So in English, maybe God is trying to tell us that we need to be self-controlled in the way that we act and the things that we say so that nothing we do or say we'll let another one stumble. And we need to be self-disciplined so that when we say things, that our actions don't contradict our words. And then finally, God also gives us a sound mind so that when we are speaking to others about the good news that we have received, it's not a whole lot of babbling going on. It's just the basics. Jesus came, died for your sins, reconciled you with God, and you can have the most amazing relationship ever. That's in the most simplest of form, but there was no waffling. There was no, but you've got to go wash your hands 304 times, or go and do this, or wear this pair of jeans, or don't wear that kind of shirt. Just keep it simple. Of a sound mind, absolute clarity. We go out in love with the power of God with a sound mind. The good news is that all these gifts are gifts of the Spirit. It's not just natural abilities. Hey? Because I find it hard to love the rapists, the murderers, people that hurt kids. Now that I have James, hey? Watched a video on Facebook the other day where a kid gets really hurt by an adult. And I kind of want to jump into the screen, hey? And really just share a different kind of love with that adult. Really do. I find it hard at times. Thank goodness I don't have to lean on my own natural gifts and my natural abilities. Thank goodness you and I serve a God that's given us a spirit of agape love that will empower us to go in a very self-disciplined and self-controlled manner, share the gospel with the rapists and murderers and people that hurt kids, and so forth. Thank you, Lord, that we serve you and that you enable us to do things like that. Just as Timothy was challenged beyond his natural abilities to step out boldly in faith and proclaim the good news once again, trusting in the Holy Spirit that he would go with him and give him all that he needs to fulfill God's call upon his life, so are we challenged today to do the same thing. Paul urged Timothy to think about who empowered him in verse 6 and 7. And then he challenged him to go and do what God's called him to do in verse 8 through to 11. So may you and I today be reminded about who empowers us. It's not us. If it was up to me, I would clap the oak. But if it's up to God, he would probably come next to the guy and say, hey, but it's not how we deal with the little ones around here. We love people. We love people. And God will give us the power to do it gently and self-controlled and with a sound mind. So as we conclude today, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, let's just unpack some of these things again. And I really want to challenge you to go and work on these things this week. Firstly, for the parents, let's keep teaching our children the good biblical truths they need to know in order to face the storms of life that they will. Adults, let's keep growing in our faith and keep that flame burning in a mighty way for God. And when our hearts are filled with lies that lead us to fear and anxiety, let us remind the author of fear about the God that we serve, and in particular, remind him that we do not need, that we have not received a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And then finally, let us go into this world and go and share the gospel that God has called us to do. Because he's given us a heart of love for those he is trying to reach. He's empowered us to go outside of our comfort zones and do whatever it takes to share the gospel. And then finally, let us go and do it with a sound mind that is built on a clear understanding of the gospel, but with a great level of self-control and discipline, that our lifestyles will echo what we believe and preach to others. Let's spend some time in prayerful reflection.